Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 and 9-month FY26 earnings conference call of Hyker Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sameer Hiramath, Vice Chairman and Managing Director for Hyker Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for your patience. A warm welcome to all of you. We appreciate your participation in Hyker Limited's Q3 and 9-month FY26 results conference call, and thank you for your continued interest in the company. The results are now uploaded on the stock exchange's websites. I am Sameer Hiramath, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Hyker Limited, and I'll be taking you through the highlights of our performance and the strategic progress during the period. Joining me on the call today are Anish Swadhi, our Senior President and Head of Business Transformation and Animal Health, Kuldip Jain, our Chief Financial Officer, Manoj Mehrotra, our Head of the Pharmaceutical Business, and Vimal Malhotra, our Head of our Crop Protection Business, along with Strategic Growth Advisors, our Investor Relations Advisors. Looking at the performance for Q3 FY26, the global chemical and life sciences industry is beginning to exhibit signs of a steady recovery. We are observing a sequential improvement in demand visibility, resulting in improved utilization and offtake of the products. However, the operating environment remains dynamic due to the global macroeconomic effects. We continue to monitor structural overcapacity, particularly within the global crop protection segment, particularly coming out of China, which continues to exhibit pressure on pricing and availability of products. Evolving trade policies are introducing a degree of volatility into procurement decisions and supply chain dynamics. Despite these external headwinds, Hyker remains resilient with a diversified portfolio and deep-rooted customer partnerships, many of which are over 25 years old, that serve as critical anchors to navigate near-term uncertainties. The consolidated revenue for quarter three stood at 494 crores, with an EBITDA of 83 crores. This demonstrates a clear return to operational profitability, supported by underlying strength of our core business, which has now come back. Having navigated a period of regulatory scrutiny over the last six to nine months, our transition to an optimal capacity utilization transition is a result of upgraded quality systems and operational excellence framework. The board of directors at the board meeting concluded just recently today have approved an interim dividend of 0.2 rupees per share, which is 10% of the face value. For the nine-month FY26, the revenue stood at 1,193 crores, with an EBITDA of 115 crores. We are pleased to inform you that both our businesses are on a path of recovery. The fundamentals remain robust, with performance metrics trending positively as we head into the final quarter of this financial year. Q3 FY26 represents a positive turning point for Hyker, having navigated the regulatory cycle in the early part of the year. We have successfully shifted from a phase of intensive remediation to one of proactive recovery. We are now strategically positioned to deliver sustainable, higher-quality growth. Within the pharmaceutical segment, supply resumptions progressed in alignment with our internal forecast, driven by strengthening of our quality management systems and processes. We recorded a significant sequential improvement in volumes, with capacity utilization improving in this quarter. Our remedial actions concerning the U.S. FDA audit are progressing well and are almost complete. This process was bolstered by close collaboration with not only our global remediation experts and partners but also our global customers, ensuring our systems, processes, and infrastructure meet global regulatory requirements. Despite the challenges faced in the first half of this year, We expect, as mentioned earlier, a strong recovery in H2, which is visible in the Q3 results and which will improve in the Q4 numbers going forward, driven by improved demand visibility, better capacity utilization, and a commercialization of new products which is being ramped up as we speak. The pharmaceutical division business revenue for the quarter stood at 337 crores with an EBIT margin of 12.3%. The performance in the last quarter has already begun to offset previous headwinds in the first 6 months of the year, signaling a return to normalized trade cycles. We anticipate that the momentum will continue to improve going into Q4 as well. R&D efforts are yielding a robust pipeline of niche molecules as we strategically pivot to new technologies and high-value complex therapeutic areas. Key programs in the field of oncology, CNS and gastroenterology reflect our commitment to addressing complex patient needs while securing higher margin growth opportunities. Investments made over the last 12 to 15 months are now, which were made from a strategic intent, are now operational. These include our state-of-the-art high-potency laboratory at R&D Center in Pune and a new pilot plant in our FDA-approved manufacturing site in Panoli. These world-class facilities significantly elevate our value proposition in high-technology segments and further sharpen our edge as a differentiated and a global CDMO partner of choice. We continue to benefit from the sustained global outsourcing trend, which is reflected in our robust order pipeline, which continues to grow with increased number of RFPs. There are several key programs now advancing from the lab into development and scale-up phases. We have significantly improved our revenue visibility over the medium term. During the quarter, our crop protection segment recorded revenues of 157 crores with an EBIT margin of 3%. The global crop business continues to navigate a return to normalization phase characterized by persistent pricing pressures and structural overcapacity. In response to these headwinds, we have accelerated our portfolio diversification strategy, the key milestone of which is the effort to transition to the specialty chemicals, in particular the personal care segment, at a commercial scale. We anticipate meaningful revenue from this segment to commence in the next fiscal year, marking our successful entry into a new high-growth, differentiated growth markets. As we move into the final quarter of this year, our visibility strengthens from a forward-looking perspective. We're emerging from the transformative period and a remediation period of the last 6 to 9 months to a more resilient organization defined by strengthened quality systems, elevated governance, and a technology-advanced manufacturing and R&D infrastructure. While the intensive heavy lifting of remediation is now, most of it is behind us, our commitment to excellence remains steadfast. We are relentlessly focused on institutionalizing these higher standards of quality compliance across every level of our operations. This is a permanent upgrade to our organizational DNA designed to ensure long-term operational resilience and excellence. With our supply chain restored and our strategic investments fully operational, the foundation for a robust and sustainable FY27 is now firmly in place. We look forward to the next chapter of higher quality growth and value creation for all our stakeholders. I'd now like to hand over to our CFO, Kuldeep Jain.
Thanks, Sameer, and good evening, all participants. I think Sameer has already appraised you about the action initiated in the organization on various aspects. Let me now take you through the financial performance of Hycal for quarter 3 and 9 months ended December 2026 and share key updates on our financial trajectory, capital allocation priorities, and balance sheet strengthen. For quarter 3 FY2026, our consolidated revenue stood at ₹494 crore. EBITDA for the quarter stood at ₹83 crore, translating to a margin of 16.8%. For the 9 months FY2026, consolidated revenue reached at ₹1,193 crore and EBITDA of ₹115 crore with a margin of 9.6%. Finance cost for the quarter 3 to FY26 was at ₹48 crore, which is a reduction of 17% on a year-on-year basis on account of lower debt and lower interest rates. Depreciation remained in line with last quarter. During the quarter, we have provided with ₹38 crore as exceptional item on account of new labor code charges which were notified on November 21st, 2025. And this has resulted in loss for the quarter. Adjusting for this, our profit before tax grew by 21% to rupees 29 crores. Capital expenditure during the 9 months period stood at rupees 100 crore, focused on de-bottlenecking, regulatory upgrades, and expanding CDMO capacities. Our capital allocation remains highly targeted, prioritizing high ROI projects that align with our long-term growth objectives. Our growth initiatives are financed through an appropriate mix of internal accruals and debts. The balanced funding strategy ensures fiscal agility to execute our long-term exceptional expansion plans. We have maintained our debt equity ratio to 0.58 as on 31 December 2025. Now I would like to hand over to Vimal, who will provide an overview of crop protection division performance. Over to you, Vimal. Thank you, everybody, and over to you, Vimal.
Thank you, Kuldeep. Good evening, all the participants of this earning call. The global crop protection landscape is currently navigating a period of strategic realignment, presenting both transient headwinds and substantial long-term opportunities. While we observe a recovery in volume at end customer level, this momentum is now translating into a quick uptick in order inflow and inquiries to us. However, the pricing environment remains highly competitive, primarily driven by overcapacity and pricing pressure from China. In response, we are leveraging our integrated manufacturing model and operational excellence initiatives, mitigating these margin pressures. We view this as a normalization phase that favors players with proven supply chain reliability and superior quality system, positioning us to capture a larger market share as industry stabilizes. During the quarter, our crop protection revenue stood at 157 crore with an EBIT of 5 crore. Margin remained under pressure as pricing pressure continues. The performance is expected to remain stable on an annualized basis. We are making significant stride in our specialty chemical, mainly personal care vertical, a cornerstone of our portfolio diversification strategy. During the quarter, we deepened our engagement with global leaders in innovation and driven cosmetic space, leveraging our core competence in complex chemistry and sustainable manufacturing. This business is gaining traction, marked by successful completion of initial production batches. We are now on track to commercialize 3 to 4 products in FY27, which will broaden our revenue base, and the market response has been positive to us. Personal care stands as an important growth lever. We have commercialized 2 products during Q3 and volume ramp up will happen over next 9 to 12 months. Additionally, during that quarter, we have strengthened our global presence through an onboarding distributors in Europe, LATAM and Middle East. We continue to maintain a robust development pipeline of 8 products, with our R&D team serving as the engine for accelerated commercialization and process innovation. To counteract the current aggressive pricing environment, we have undertaken cost optimization initiatives, including focus on procurement optimization, energy efficiencies, and yield enhancement. Despite persistent market volatility, the fundamentals of crop protection business remains in place. Our strategic focus on operational and portfolio excellence ensures we are well positioned to deliver sustainable growth as a global inventory cycle rebalance. Now I hand over to Manoj, who will provide you overview of pharmaceutical business.
Thank you, Vimal, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Let me now walk you through the performance of our pharmaceutical business. For quarter 3 FY26, pharmaceutical segment delivered a revenue of rupees 337 crores with an EBIT of rupees 41 crores. While performance was temporarily impacted by shifting customer offtake patterns following the regulatory developments at our Bengaluru facility, we have now reached the turning point. I am pleased to report that the remediation measures are now substantially implemented. The rigorous risk assessments conducted by our global partners have been successfully concluded. Our focus now shifts from remediation to maintaining a steady state of compliance and operational excellence. Our R&D engines continue to gain momentum as we advance a robust pipeline of niche molecules into high barrier therapeutic areas. We are making significant strides in oncology, anti-migraine, new age anti-ulcerative and urology treatments to address critical patient needs while simultaneously expanding our footprint in the CNS and anti-diabetic segments. To ensure long-term sustainable growth, we are actively diversifying our geographical presence. Our expansion into Japan, Latin America and South Korea is progressing according to plan. These markets represent critical pillars in our strategy to reduce regional dependency and capture global market share in emerging and developed economies alike. Our development pipeline remains robust with 8 to 9 molecules currently in advanced stages. We are maintaining our launch velocity of 2 to 3 new products annually in strict alignment with the medium-term strategic roadmap. To fortify our critical resilience, we are aggressively executing a dual-site validation mandate for all critical APIs, effectively mitigating regulatory and supply chain risks. The CDMO landscape is undergoing a structural shift as innovators prioritize capital efficiency and supply chain resilience. We are capturing this momentum, witnessing a sharp uptake in early-stage RFPs, particularly for high-value small molecules and advanced intermediates. This demand is increasingly driven by global innovators and emerging biotech firms seeking to de-risk the supply chains. While commercial scale-up timelines remain staggered due to the inherently long cycle nature of CDMO engagements, the velocity and technical complexity of our project funnel have significantly improved. Our pipeline is both robust and diversified, with several critical projects successfully transitioning from early development to pilot scale. As the industry shifts towards partners with proven regulatory credibility and integrated manufacturing platform, Hycle is uniquely positioned to convert this demand into long-term, high-visibility revenue. Crucially, our key starting materials for global innovators have progressed into Phase 3 clinical trials, with commercial launch scheduled for FY28. To sustain this momentum of getting into supply chain of NCEs, we are expanding pilot scale capacity at our Pune R&D Center. In the food and nutraceutical segment, we are on track to achieve peak output in FY27 for 2 of our custom products, supported by a robust portfolio expansion to be commercialized in next 2-3 years. The inauguration of a high-potency laboratory makes our strategic entry into the high-growth oncology market. Our R&D infrastructure is now fully equipped to provide an integrated suite of advanced services to our innovator partners. Looking ahead, we anticipate a steady volume uptake in APIs driven by pending regulatory clearances and deeper penetration into high potential semi-regulated markets. Over the medium to long term, we remain focused on expanding our API portfolio for global markets while steadily converting CDMO opportunities into sustainable long-term business growth. Now I would hand over to Anish, who will provide an overview of our animal health segment, followed by business strategy.
Thanks, Manoj. In our animal health business, we continue to see some sustained momentum. Outsourcing activity in the animal health APIs remains steady as innovator companies continue to focus on capital efficiency and supply chain resilience. The animal health CDMO segment is seeing gradual interest from customers looking to outsource manufacturing and engage in life cycle management while maintaining reliable supply chains. Our current long-term contract with our global innovator customer continues to gain traction. We are supplying commercial quantities for the portfolio that we have validated. As more approvals globally come through for our customer, we expect some of these volumes to pick up and eventually gain additional traction. Currently, we have received several RFPs for new development projects from global customers. These are a mix of both new chemical entities as well as niche molecules already present in the market. We are confident of successfully winning a few of these to add to our healthy development and commercial pipeline. We are seeing steady demand growth for animal health therapies across developed markets such as Europe and the US, as well as certain penetration in Japan as well. Our current commercial pipeline is strong and our customers are gaining additional market share with the molecules we commercially supply. As these molecules mature and cost competitive becomes critical, suppliers with strong R&D, robust manufacturing infrastructure, and multi-site reliability, we are well positioned to gain a share of wallet from our customers and attract new ones. Additionally, the trend of increased outsourcing by global animal health companies combined with diversification of supply away from single geographies creates a favorable environment for a strategic quality-focused Indian manufacturer such as ourselves to deepen relationships, expand product portfolio, and improve our margins in this segment over the medium term. Now, with that, I'd like to open the floor to Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Henil from Equicrop. Please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, I've got some questions. First, starting with the macro ones. So what is the status of the CAPAV that we are going to submit in December end? And what was the status on the month-on-month follow-up we are doing with the USFDA? And when will there be a re-inspection from them?
Okay, Manoj, want to take that? Manoj, you want to take that question?
Yeah, I'm taking it. So we have given a remediation plan to USFDA. We don't give them a monthly update, but we are giving an update once in 6 weeks. The last two updates were given on December 16th and one as recent as this Monday, which is February 9th. Now, after completion of the warning letter, which will have of 6 months, which will just get over in the next 2 weeks, we should be hearing back from them. And then we'll get to know whether they are satisfied with the progress of our remediation plan.
Okay. So second, coming to the impact on the Chinese government policies, one is on the fluorspar where they declared it as rare earth minerals also, which would bottleneck the supplies. Second, on clawback of some export incentives. So how does this actually impact us and the peers and overall in the industry side, especially the agrochemical side?
Vimal?
Yeah, so we are continuously in touch with our supplier. As of now, we do not see much impact on the products what we import from China. But we are carefully watching this.
Okay, so there has not been any near term or impact from these policies as of now.
Yeah,
and we don't buy much chlorinated products out of China. It's a very small part of our procurement.
Okay. So also coming to the HPAPI lab that we've actually put up, what is the capex that we put for the HPAPI lab and also what is the incremental revenues we are going to invest into the HPAPI part for ADCs, oncology and other products from that or peptides in that particular area?
So currently we only invested in a laboratory. So it's only about 10-11 crores of investment. So this is the investment for the phase one. Then in FY28, we will be building up a commercial scale plant. But as of now, it's only a laboratory investment. Yeah.
Okay. So also there, do we plan to get into the ADCs ASAP or it's after FY28 that you plan to get into the ADCs part?
So Manoj,
we have started offering ADC services at lab scale. But once we build the plant, it will be common for HPAPIs as well as ADCs. But you mentioned peptides also. Peptides not part of this plan as yet, but we are evaluating that also.
So if I consider the ADCs part, so actually if you see some of our competitors, they've been putting a lot of money into the commercial facilities. And right now we just got out from a USFDA shock, whereas in ADCs we require an OEB5 certification, which is a very complex one. And plus it takes 2-3 years of gestation, 3x the normal plant capex. So how do you see this entire thing given our current cash flows and given our current balance sheet size?
Yeah, I think
on the lab scale, we already have OEB. We just got approved by OEB5 certificate.
No, not the lab scale one, the FY28.
Yeah, it takes time, but it is not impossible. So many companies have got it. We are getting it. On the CapEx part, maybe Samir can answer or Kuldeep can answer that.
Yeah, I think the FDA thing is that we've had a 25-year-old track record. This is our first FDA inspection that we've had a not so favorable inspection. So we know exactly what has to be done. And what we'll be building is that the investment will be on a small volume production. These products, these CapEx, these plants aren't very large. So we'll be building a pilot plant type of a facility first as phase one. Then we'll go to a commercial after that. It takes time to ramp up.
Okay. So coming to the oral anticoagulant space, so what is the status of, I mean, orders and pickup from the Paxiban side? Since we have been hearing this for the last two quarters or three quarters plus, are we seeing any big commercial orders?
Yeah, we are getting commercial orders from Latin America. And so Apixaban is ahead. The next is Rivaroxaban. That is a little slow, but Apixaban, we have made good progress.
So, and do we have plans to get into Milvexin side? Because I think so, one of our peers is listed on one of the big pharma so sourcing supplies, and it will be a big opportunity once it goes off patent in 2026.
No, we are in the supply chain of Milvexin, so we have no generic plan as yet. So, we will, as the product gets approved, we will supply the KSM, which is still maybe 1 to 2 years away.
So, we will be supplying it to the principals, right?
Yes.
Okay. So,
it is launched next year,
So, we'll be launching the Milvexin KSM next year in FY27.
Yes.
Okay. So, on the anti-diabetes portfolio, when will we start seeing order pickup from the DPP-4 or the SGLT2 inhibitors? Because that also we were seeing in the last 2-3 quarters, and I think so we were still had to come in the Carmaglyphosine side.
No, so these sitagliptin, canagliflozin markets, we have started saving dapagliflozin, empagliflozin. So those have started picking up. But as they go off patent in various markets, FY28 onwards, we will get more traction. The other one which you mentioned, SGL2, that we have not yet started development.
We have not even developed any of the products.
No.
Sir, any plans to get into the NOAC side since we are also there in the anticoagulant space, oral anticoagulants? NOAC is also a close adjacency to cancer, I mean on the thrombosis side.
Not immediately. As of now, our pipeline is quite full for the next 2-3 years in terms of hypotensive, in the anti-diabetic. Some I mentioned is anti-ulcerative, some new generation molecules. So our hands are quite full at this time.
Okay. So I've got a few more questions. I'll fall back into the queue. Thank you for answering the questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. I'm out.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hi. Question to note 5. On your results, I mean, this is with regard to the 80 crores rollback which happened, reversal which happened last quarter. And then again, there is a fact-finding review which is being mentioned. And could you please help us with exactly what is the status? So has that 80 crores been adjusted in Q3? And if not, should we expect it further? And also, does this note mean that further adjustments could come through?
Well, the 80 crores has already been adjusted in Q3, so no further adjustments are expected.
When you say adjusted, you mean that's included in the sales for Q3 already?
That's right.
Okay, and what is the pending, what is this review? Could you help us with further details on what this further review is that kind of ongoing?
Yeah, it's just about some checking and strengthening of some systems and processes, which is an ongoing exercise. And that's the review being happening. And it's being checked on an ongoing basis. That's about it.
So do you then anticipate further reversals coming in from this review?
No, we do not. It's systems and processes. It's nothing to do with the numbers, yeah.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Bora from Premier Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to recheck on your earlier guidance, which remained double-digit growth for pharma business for F26 and flat for crop protection. So broadly, do we think we can make up that guidance as guided earlier?
Sorry, could you just repeat that? I couldn't hear you very clearly. Can you just repeat that question?
Yeah. So your guidance at the start of F26 and in 1Q was that for full year F26, we would grow the pharma business at close to double digits, while the crop protection business would remain flat year on year for F26. Broadly, are we in line to achieve that kind of a guidance?
Well, the pharma has got delayed by a quarter or so because of the US FDA impact. What we anticipated to happen towards the end of H1 only started in Q3. And so we're off by about a quarter. We will have some growth, but we don't expect the double-digit growth in pharma. Yeah, it'll start from next year. It's got delayed to next year, fully part of next year.
And crop?
Crop is flattish compared to last year. That guidance is the same, it's unchanged. Yeah.
Got it. And just as you mentioned, next year, last 3 years have been quite tepid for us in terms of growth. We faced different kinds of challenges, regulatory, topped up with the FDA issue. Now, as I can understand from your commentary, it seems the worst is truly behind. So, F27, any outlook, guidance, or how we as investors who've been there for 7-8 years, what we can think about F27, anything, any color you can share?
Well, our budgets are currently being finalized as we speak this month, so it's not appropriate for me to give any forward guidance. But I think the statement that you made over the last 3 years, yes, there have been some challenges for various reasons. And I think the worst is definitely behind us. I can confidently say that. And we've used this time in the last 3 years to really strengthen operations, organization, and use this time to double down on our customer acquisition as well as create new molecules and diversify into different business segments. And I'll talk about that being one is the animal segment, which started 3 or 4 years ago, which as you have seen has started to add a meaningful amount of business in this year and will add even more in the next 2-3 years. We're also entering the personal care segment, which is another diversification of the spec chem business. So yes, it's from a revenue and a margin perspective, the last 3 years have been challenging, to say the least, but we expect things now to only get better going forward. And we've really used this time to really strengthen the organization and focus on diversification of products, customers, and business lines to ensure that we have a very diversified, risk mitigated approach going forward to withstand any small shocks if they come in the future. The impact on the business will be far less than what it was in the last 3 years.
Got it. Heartening to hear. And just you mentioned about the animal health business, we put in significant capex there and significant efforts, and Anish has been driving that. Just I wanted to understand in like say a 3 years time from now, can this be like a 500 crore business, and what kind of margins can we see here? And also anything you can share for F27 specifically on the animal health business?
Yeah, I mean, so you rightly said, yeah, a lot of efforts have gone in, and some capex has also been invested. So we do have and we've talked about this in the past, that we have a master plan to build this into a 500 crore plus business in the next 4 to 5 years, right? Certainly validation and some of the molecules take time depending on the market. So it's a little challenging to say or difficult to say right now whether in 3 years we can have 300 crores. But again, our guidance in terms of building a business to 500 crores plus has not changed, right? So we're on track to do that. For FY27, whatever we have is looking positive. As we said in our opening commentary, that we have a growing existing portfolio, in addition to which we also have new molecules or new, I would say, a very strong RFP base. So that's looking quite positive. So the pipeline, both on the development side as well as on the commercial side, are looking positive, and we continue to execute. So we're quite buoyant and bullish about this business.
Right. Anything on the EBITDA margins for this business, Anish?
Yeah, so we don't really go granular into EBITDA margins, but I would say that, look, the gross margins are in line with that of the company, anywhere between 45%-50%. Obviously, in the new portfolio, that when you're looking at NCEs, they're higher, and then obviously when they hit the commercial space, they kind of come down, but then the volume makes up for it. So I would like to keep on in terms of that guidance on the gross margin side, there's anywhere between 45%-50%.
Right. Got it. Got it. And just lastly, anything on the outlook for CapEx for F26 full year and F27? Anything that you can share as of now?
Yeah. So CapEx this year has been, you know, in the beginning of the year, we said we will do a CapEx of about 200 crores, but I think we've been very conservative this year, and we've cut it down to 150 crores overall CapEx, compared to 200 crores is what we had guided at the beginning of the year. So this year we'll end the year at about 150. We already spent 100 crores in the first 9 months. Another 40 to 50 crores will be spent in the quarter four to end the year at within 150 crores for this year.
Right. Got that, Sameer. Thank you so much. Hopefully, we are truly onwards to better growth and margins and performance ahead as a company. We wish the best to you and look forward to better years ahead.
No, definitely. Thank you so much for your question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ravi Shah from VRS Capital. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So I just had three questions. So how is the volume ramp-up going on in the recently commercialized product?
Which type of product are you asking about? Which segment, especially?
So for the pharma, if I'm not wrong?
Pharma?
Yeah.
Well, volumes for pharma, if you look at it, for this quarter, pharma has grown by, volumes have grown by about 4%. There's been a volume degrowth this year for the 9 months because of the impact of the first 6 months, but we expect double-digit volume growth to return to this business. Yeah.
Understood, sir. Could you also give an update on the animal health business for volumes?
Yeah, so volumes to start off with are not tremendously large as compared to the pharma business in animal health, because as you know, we have a portfolio of products that we have completed validation on and started supplying commercial volumes. So volume-wise, over last year, I would say we've had a growth, certain growth. But again, it'll take, I think, another two quarters for the real commercial volumes to start trickling in and then ramping up.
Understood, sir. Thank you for the detailed answer. So my next question also pertains to animal health only. So could you shed more light on the new chemical entities that we have been working on, and what is the overall market size or potential we could see in this business?
Yeah, so, you know, when we start working on chemical entities, A, number one, there's a lot of uncertainty around whether, A, these products will actually make it to the market, because post us providing them a viable solution for their product, they have to go through market approval. And in a lot of cases, these market approvals don't go through for several reasons, right? That it doesn't applicably treat the disease that it's actually meant for. So there's a lot of uncertainty and risk around that, right? But the fact, I think, that we are getting new chemical entities and final APIs in this business is a very positive sign that our customers trust us. Our customers believe in our ability and capability to both develop, execute, and commercially supply them. So I think that's a very big positive. In terms of the market size, very difficult to sell, because it's like a brand new fresh product on the market where the customers themselves have to invest a significant amount of money, time, effort to get the product out to consumers globally, right? And each country has different regulations because these are not products that have ever been sold before. They're either taking care of, I would say, niche diseases, or they're taking care of diseases already prevalent but giving a better cure for. So, you know, there's a lot of variables to that where we are not obviously involved. But again, I would reiterate to the fact that it's a big positive for the company to get an opportunity to develop these, commercially supply them to the customer, because it truly, you know, the belief of the company's capabilities are reinforced.
Understood, sir. Thank you again. And sir, last question again would be on the overall animal health business only. So is it fair to assume in FY27 we would reach our optimum utilization of the facility, or should we look at FY28 to be the right year?
Yeah, so in FY27, the utilization will certainly increase. I wouldn't say substantially increase, but it would increase. Again, as we put in our opening comments, that, you know, we are still waiting for some global approvals from our customers' perspective. So once those come through, but the facilities are not being just kept idle. We are utilizing them to take a spillover of some of the other products that we have, where we're manufacturing early stage in, you know, steps in these in this asset. So focus overall is to obviously grow the animal health business, but also to keep the utilization levels as high as possible, right?
Understood, sir. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gautam Gupta, an investor. Please proceed.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to ask, since when are we into NCE business, and have we ever commercialized any NCE?
Yeah, we've been in NCE business for a few years now. It's been quite recent. We have a couple of products which are already commercialized on the NCE space. But the bigger ones are in the final stages in phase three and in close to launch in the next 1 or 2 years. So we've got a couple already in commercial, but the big ones are coming in the next 2 to 3 years, which are in phase three and moving into launch soon.
Okay, so when we say that we have commercialized, do we mean that we have been helping them as a development partner from pre-clinical trials or clinical trials, or just the CMO part, tech transfer type?
No, we get involved in typically in early phase two, during clinical trials, and we start supplying clinical trial quantities, and then phase 2A, phase 2B, then phase 3, and then launch. So we have been involved from phase 2 onwards.
Okay. And a few quarters back in a con call, you mentioned about Newland Labs and praised about their capabilities in peptides. So a few other companies have been doing specialization, few therapies like cell and gene therapy for Loris. So where is the niche for Hycal?
Well, we're looking at the one definitely segment that we're looking at is niche is animal health. Second segment is we're looking at the onco products and niche molecules that we're getting into. And I think we have a diversified strategy. I would say we have five different sites. So between each site and our 35-year history, we have three, four niche areas. And we're moving into new generation products like ADCs, which Manoj mentioned about, and from food ingredient products, which are also being launched. So these are the three, four niches that we're looking at ramping up in the next 3 to 4 years. The CNS segment is where we're very strong in. The gastrointestinal segment is where we're getting ramped up. The diabetes segment, we have several molecules which we're launching. So there are three, four areas where we're getting into these segments.
And most of these are into NCE or already commercial products?
They're a combination of already commercial and some NCEs. We do a CDMO offering as well. And we are sector, actually we are therapeutic agnostic. It doesn't matter. We look at the chemistry angle when it comes to a CDMO play. It's only when we choose our own product development do we focus on a few therapeutic areas like CNS, gastro, onco products is where we get involved. But otherwise we are sector therapeutic agnostic. It doesn't matter. As long as the chemistry makes sense, the technology and the margin makes sense.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Henan from Equicorp. Please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity again, sir. Sir, I had a few questions on the animal health side. Sir, in the animal health, if we look at two products which are very complex and getting towards closing, it is very close to patent expiry. One is Efavirenz and one is Flurane. So do you see very big opportunity in these two products? Because Flurane, if I think so, the patent expiry, the primary patent expiry is 2026, which and the secondary one is in 2030. So do you see any major opportunity from these two products?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, you mentioned two of the, I think, blockbuster products in the Lana categories that have done exceptionally well. Look, like every product, you know, animal health is no different from human health. When we're talking about on-patent products that go off-patent, there's a significant amount of competition. There's a significant amount of, I would say, price erosion post-patent expiration. And of course, patent expiration has to be looked at in terms of territories as well, which one goes off first. So I would say that, you know, personally, we've been hearing about this for the last, I would say, 8 or 9 years, and we've seen prices come down to quite deplorable levels. Again, our strategy for animal health is really to focus on the CDMO side, while we are developing a niche product portfolio of our own in terms of looking at what therapeutic categories we can really differentiate ourselves in. The focus is more on the CDMO side. So if a customer comes to us and asks us to develop a process or to take transfer a process for any one of the molecules that we feel that we can add value to, then that's what we look at.
Okay. Because if we see there was a tie-up that actually happened between Boehringer and one of our Indian competitors, and there are just two or three companies in India which can actually get into these complex, very complex products. It is Hycil and the other two big competitors that we have. So do you see some kind of exclusive manufacturing that we can do? Because one of our peers has manufacturing as well as marketing as boots on the ground. So anything we can do on the manufacturing side for one of the large customers?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we already have tie-ups with some of the large customers or the global multinationals for A, number one, a portfolio of products, B, number two, you know, individual products. So it's, you know, that's our core business. You know, when we start off very early in terms of R&D, we look at route scouting and then we go into, you know, utilizing technology for improved process development and, you know, further output to limit the amount of steps and make it more sustainable, the processes, and then supply a overall solution to the customer from a, both from a quality perspective as well as from a commercial perspective. And that's why they choose us. So that's our core model, right? So we already have tie-ups to answer your question specifically. And of course, we're looking at additional tie-ups in the you know, in the near future.
Okay. So coming back to the pharma side, so I think in the last call, we had alluded that we are there on the SGLT2 inhibitor side because that was actually one of being used in the market as a combi drug with one of the diabetic drug which is due for expiry. I mean, and right now I think so we said we are not on the SGLT2 inhibitor side.
Manoj? Sorry, what is the question?
So, in the last call, we actually alluded that we are actually there on the SGLT2 inhibitor side, which is actually going to be used as a combi drug for a weight loss, along with the weight loss drug. But I think so in this call, sir said that we are not actually there on the SGLT2 inhibitor side.
So, you know, I'll just take that since... So basically, look, we are looking at the entire GLP-1 segment, right? And again, focus is on looking at it from a perspective of what customers are in the need of and what customers are asking us for. So, you know, we have had several dialogues with customers who are looking for some of the intermediates on the GLP side. As you know, and we've indicated that we have built these capabilities over a period of time. These are long synthesis steps. So what we were focusing on is the linkers that actually go into making some of the intermediates. We're not looking at the final product as of now. But yes, the focus is on that. And again, our technology toolbox that we have and the products that we ultimately come up with is a result of what our customers ask us for, right? And we work very closely with them. So when it comes to, say, small molecules, that's what we're very good at, right? And we've learned along the ways, we've built our relationships with our customers based on delivery of some of these small molecules and some of these niche products that we've done. The same will apply for the GLP as well. But we're not looking at the front end right now. We're just looking at the early to mid stages.
Okay. Thanks a lot for the clarifications. And lastly, we had appointed consultants in Europe and US to look at medium-sized pharma players and very small niche players also. So any commercial runs that we have seen there, where you've seen inquiries convert to orders? Because out there, I think so the inquiry to order cycle will be pretty fast compared to big pharma companies.
No, so yeah, so we've already started seeing the benefits. For example, we have some products we have won in the last 6 months, contracts, and the delivery is happening in between now and the next 3 to 4 months. So there are several products which are in development and under delivery for our global biotech companies. So there's small emerging pharma, as they call them, in Europe and in US. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot for the opportunity, sir, and wish the team all the very best.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manoj from Equicorp. Please proceed.
Hi, Tanish. Thanks for the opportunity. So if I go to Q2, then we lost about 80 crore turnover and it was shifted to Q3. And if I take a gross margin, EBITDA impact 25-30 crores, then Q3, there is a degrowth in revenue, YOY, and also margin seems to be under pressure. So overall, broadly, is the scenario still very, very competitive in terms of the business? Despite your comment that we are coming out of it and we are looking for significant growth now going forward?
I think it's very competitive on the crop business. If you look at EBITDA, the crop business has been depressed for the last few quarters. So that is dragging down the total EBIT of the company right now. Pharma business is seeing a recovery and the pharma business is showing a rebound in the EBIT margins. The crop business continues to be under tremendous margin pressure. So we believe that, you know, going forward, crop will be stabilized, but pharma will grow. That's our and that'll help grow the business.
So this 80 crore, what was from Q2 to Q3, that is mainly for the pharma actually? Or
It was largely in the pharma business, yeah.
Largely in the pharma. Okay. So hopefully things should be looking better from Q4 onwards. And
yeah, I think it will turn, I mean, from Q3. So Q4 will be better than Q3. Yeah.
Right. So we should not be seeing the degrowth, right? I mean, hopefully going forward, even YOY.
Yeah, I think one of the speakers asked me earlier, is the worst behind us over the last 2-3 years over the challenge? I think that's already now. We see all the things being sorted out, and we're moving ahead into FY27 with a very positive outlook and with a lot of confidence in the business. Yeah.
And one of the issues we had was about repurposing the plant of that agri plant for the crop, right? So that you said that hopefully it should be done in this year, right? I mean, by the time we end FY26.
It was built as a very large multi-purpose asset, which was part occupied in the past and where part was empty. So the part occupied section, the phase one will be implemented in the next 6 months. And then phase two will be implemented in the next 12 months after that. So the next 6 to 18 months, we will repurpose the entire plant. We will start in a phased manner. We're being very careful on the capex that we're doing based on the customer orders, and we're ramping it up. And we can ramp this up in 6 to 9 months. It doesn't take long to repurpose these plants.
Right. So basically then the payback period would be 4-5 years from there on, right? And once the repurpose is completed.
Yeah, and these are all being done based on customer contracts and businesses that we are winning. So the infrastructure and the bare bones, as they say, and the skeleton and is all there. Utilities are there, quality control is there, all the facilities are there. You have to just add the reactors and maybe change some pipelines and do a few changes.
The new business that we are winning across, except probably it's a crop, is it coming at a better margins now? be it CDMO or own products, because newer generation products will be also there. So overall,
yeah,
are you seeing, I mean, significantly better margins going forward on because of that?
Yeah, I think all the new products have better margins. So, you know, two things are going to happen. One is that we already have a pretty substantial asset base that we've invested in the last 4 to 5 years. And as you see, our CapEx investments year on year have kind of come down. Not that that's not going to prevent us from growing. So we've already created a fixed base for growth. And we will only have to add specific plant or production lines if required going forward. So even the margins from the gross margin perspective, the new products have a slightly better gross margin than the historical gross margin of the company, number one. But that directly flows down to far better EBITDA because fixed cost absorption is already happening on the current base business. So, you know, you will see a far better EBITDA for those businesses. But even if you have a similar 45 to 50% gross margin, which is a competitive gross margin because of the competitive ratio of the industry, with the fixed cost already being already in place to a very large extent, only some marginal fixed cost increases will be there. We will see a growth in EBITDA for the new business, which will be far in excess of the current average EBITDA of the company. And because not because we do operating leverage, basically, yeah.
Right, that should play out in FY27 onwards, right? I mean, assuming FY27 is a normal year.
FY27, once this FDA thing comes back, you know, a lot of products are being launched next year, second half of next year. Our animal health business is getting ramped up by FY28. Personal care business will get ramped up by FY27, second half, and FY28. So this will all add to operating leverage and improve the margins. These are all being done in more or less in existing assets with some marginal quality equipment, you know. Yeah.
Okay. And assuming that once we have a decent year, FY27, and a peak year in FY28, the cash flow generation would be good. And that would reduce debt significantly over the next 2 years, according to you? Total debt, including working capital.
We only come down by almost 50 crores in the 9 months of December 25 versus March 25. Already down by close to 50 crores from a total debt perspective, despite having a very challenging first 9 months, which we're aware of. So we've had a very strict control on working capital and long-term debt. And debt, as the business grows and our cash flows become stronger, we will reinvest that into CapEx and the repayments are happening and they will also start tapering off post FY28. And
okay,
we have
so absolute level, it will go down post 28, right? I mean, significantly.
That's right. From FY29 onwards, we should start seeing reduction in overall debt, which is already reducing compared to where we were. We are not doing any major new CapEx of anything. It's debottlenecking, adding a production line here and there. And these are all based on, you know, customer contracts and businesses which are, you know, very certain, yeah. Yeah.
And one thing about the U.S. tariffs, it would have had some impact on our pharma-owned products, right? I mean, what we sell in past.
Actually, pharma was not impacted much by tariffs. But you know, it deferred customer procurement decisions for new projects because of the uncertainty. A lot of customers were waiting and watching to take investment decisions. That was the uncertainty. I don't think it impacted, but it does impact overall. Yes, there's been deferment of orders for new businesses. You know, so now that is more or less out there, I think the business will start resuming and orders will start coming in more.
Because I thought they had put some duty on the branded product. I mean, so if we had our own product like Gabapentin or something, we were impacted by duty. I thought, I'm not sure.
It was marginal impact, not much. It was delayed ordering, that's all, but not because of tariffs, I would say. Yeah.
And some of my last thing, I requested SGA to meet you actually. But somehow, if we can meet, it's been very, very long time.
Anytime. I'm around. Yeah, lovely to meet.
Please,
you.
I mean, I'll request again, SG, and if you can.
No, sure. Can you just send it up? Thanks. That's part of me. Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Samir, and all the best. Hopefully, like somebody mentioned, last 3 years of pain should convert into big gains for next 2, 3, 4 years, hopefully for all of us.
It will. Thank you for all your support.
Thank you.
Due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Samir Hiremath for his closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for joining our Q3 and 9 months earnings calls today and for your continuous interest and the support to our company. We appreciate all the support you have provided to us as we navigate through the challenges of the current global business environment. As we conclude this call, we want to assure you that we are here to address any further questions or concerns. Please feel free to reach out to investor relations partners, strategic growth advisors. And once again, thank you for your participation. Goodbye and have a very good evening. Take care and see you next quarter. Bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Hyker Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your line.